Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show.
This is not a drill.
With your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, the real deal, right here live in Milwaukee. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.com is your destination for all things gardening, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, digital magazines, and a whole lot. Let's go to the IVOrganics.com hotline and bring in our next guest, Holly.
Sharon Morrissey is a premier horticulturist and teacher of both casual gardeners and extension master gardener volunteers. She is the consumer horticultural agent for the Milwaukee County University of Wisconsin Extension. She's regularly featured on local media, most notable for 19 years of segments of In the Garden on Fox 6 TV Wake Up News Show. Welcome to the program, Sharon.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day to share some of your knowledge with Holly, myself, and our listeners.
I'm always happy to do that.
So I want to start out with this. What is the importance of having a university extension in your county? What is the core purpose of a university extension office?
Well, the mission of UW Extension is all educational. They call it extension because we extend the research of the university to people so that they can use it, people in their communities, people in their homes, and for their lives, and in this case, for gardening. So it's an educational-based program that's based on university research entirely, and it's in many different subject areas, horticulture and gardening being just one of those. There's an office in every county, so everybody has a county extension office that you can work with, and they provide programs and information. It is a federal, state, and county partnership, and it's sort of like the county education department, and it's tailored to the needs of that specific county and the communities and the people in that county. So I think it's a really important way to get good, reliable information and additional education.
Okay, great. There is a new invasive species called the jumping worm. What is it, and how? What do consumers need to be aware of before they purchase soil in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, jumping worms are becoming a real scourge. People are pretty alarmed when they find them in their yards. They're not earthworms. We'll start with that. And you never have just one. They are in large groups, and they squirm like crazy when they are disturbed. And so they were calling them crazy worms, then jumping worms. They do move around very erratically when they're disturbed. And they're also always found just below the soil surface. They don't go down into tunnels and come back up like our regular earthworms do. They come into your yard with soil in containers of plants that you've purchased from other locations, from plants that you have shared from other gardeners, and also in some of the bulk nursery products like mulches and soils. And it's often very difficult to detect that they are in those products. So a lot of caution should be used when you're purchasing those kinds of things, and even when you're bringing in new plants into your yard. Really check the root system. Check the soil that's in the pot and with the plant. Like I say, they're on the top of the soil surface. They eat all of the organic matter out of the soil. And the soil ends up looking like coffee grounds. So it's really distinctive when you've got them. They look a lot like our usual earthworms, but they do have a lighter band around their body than earthworms, and that band is flat with the rest of their body, whereas our earthworms, that band that goes around them is raised, kind of raised. The biggest problem is that there's nothing you can do about them at this time. Digging that soil out and removing it won't do it. You often move them from place to place in your own yard by working in that soil, and you contaminate your tools. You'll end up having some of the very small worms, the larvae, on your tools. And in the spring, it's especially difficult because they're so small, you can't really see them. And all that's there are the cocoons that overwinter. The adults die in the winter. So it's just something to really be aware of. Be very careful when you're bringing things into your property. And for the time being, if you do discover that you have jumping worm, be very careful not to transmit it to other areas of your yard or other people's yards. Clean your tools off really well, and even your shoes and your boots where you've been working. And wait, the research is ongoing, and hopefully we will find a way to control them.
Do you know if there's any known cases in the southeast Wisconsin area or the Milwaukee County area at this point?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
It's in many places. People who have absolutely no idea that they have them, and then they learn about them, and they start working in their soil, and lo and behold, there they are.
And once they get done with the organic matter in the soil, they start eating the roots of the plants, correct?
Well, they actually don't eat the roots of the plant, but they take so much out of the soil that the plants can't thrive.
Okay.
The roots can't thrive. So that's how they do damage to the roots, is just by their feeding on the organic matter all around the roots. The soil is absolutely amazing when they get done with it. It really truly looks like coffee grounds.
Okay. So one more commonly known invasive species is the emerald ash borer. How does it spread, mm-hmm. and what is to be done if you think you have it? How do you prevent spreading?
Well, emerald ash borer has been in Wisconsin for, I think it's been 8 years now, and it is pretty widespread. I think there are some counties that still have not reported emerald ash borer, but we figure it probably is in most of the counties. Because by the time it has been found in any other counties, it has been there for quite a few years. It is a metallic beetle, and that beetle lays her eggs on the bark of ash trees. The egg burrows into the trunk, and then the larva feeds just under the bark, and that happens to be the tissue that conducts all of the nutrients and water for the tree, and it eventually dies from that. It is spread through firewood. When you move firewood from one place to another that doesn't have emerald ash borer, you are spreading the emerald ash borer in many cases. So how to prevent it from spreading is to not move firewood. They have certified firewood providers in locations near many of our camping areas in Wisconsin, and those then are the ones you should use to purchase wood. And then don't bring wood back into our county. What do you do if you think you have it? Well, you have to make a decision. It may be that the trees that it's attacking aren't all that important after all. It does cost something to take care of the trees and to manage them. And you have to decide if you want to put that investment into those trees. So determining the most valuable trees on your property and then trying to save those. If you notice that the canopy of the tree is thinned out during the middle of the growing season, like right now, to the point where it's only about 50% filled out, it probably is too late. So you kind of keep your eye on the tree and over the years watch what it's doing. And if you start to see some of the symptoms, which is a thinning canopy is one of the most obvious symptoms, then it's time to make that decision whether you want to start treating or not. And the treatments are very successful, and it can be done by a homeowner. You would need to do it every year. It's a simple chemical mixed with water in a watering can, and you water around the base of the plant, the tree. You don't even have to go out to the drip line like you do with many things. So it can be treated. It's very effective if you treat. If you don't treat, eventually your ashes will die. So it's not a great situation. I notice emerald ash borer kills trees all over the place as I'm driving around. You can tell two things that you can tell. You'll see a tree that has almost no leaves on the tree, but there's this one area where there's this great big glob of stems and leaves kind of in the middle of the tree or coming from the trunk of the tree. Those are called epicormic sprouts, and those are a sign that your tree has emerald ash borer. The other thing is that woodpeckers love the emerald ash borers, and so the woodpecker population is thriving. They go to the tree, and they start hunting around for the larva under the bark. And to do that, they kind of flick with their beak, they knock off pieces of bark. They call it flecking. And the area where that bark has come off is lighter colored. And so it's a very distinctive tan versus the gray of the bark. And sometimes you'll see a whole portion of a tree just all tan because the woodpeckers have been feeding on the larva there. So if you're at that point, it probably is too late to do anything about it on your own property. So just go out and check them and monitor for it, and then, you know, be ready to make that decision.
For gardeners like us, during the summer, there's a lot of diseases that we believe we have. For gardeners, if they feel they have a true disease on whatever plant, vegetable, foliage, whatever they have, how's the best way to identify it on their property and do it correctly?
Well, diseases, when you look at them, are very difficult to distinguish one from another. But there are definitely certain things to look for. And most of the diseases that we find on plants are things that, you know, we kind of know can occur on the plant. And so doing some research, doing some literary research, checking into what are the most common diseases on that plant is one of the best ways. And so going to a website that has university research-based information, they have lots of fact sheets about the common diseases, and if it's a local website, a local educational source, then they will have the publications about the things that are most likely to find locally. So in Milwaukee area, well, in Wisconsin, you can go to our state extension website for horticulture, and that is hort.uwex.edu. And then in the search box, you can type in the plant you're trying to grow and just say, let's say, tomato diseases. And it will give you a list of the publications on tomato diseases that we have through the UW Extension. So searching for the plant that you're having the problem on is probably the first place to start. And then in that description of how to grow that plant, it will tell you what common diseases there are. You also have the option of doing a general search on the Internet. And, again, it's good to look for a university research-based site. And one way to do that is to type in, say, tomato diseases, and then type, leave a space, and then type site:.edu. That will mean that all of the results you get are from educational sites. And then you can look through those, and you'll be able to tell if it's a local EDU organization. And really, most times, anything that's in the general vicinity, you know, your region, is all right. So a Minnesota site is fine. An Iowa site, Illinois, Indiana, you know, they're pretty long states. So they have some other zones, warmer zones than we do. Cornell is very good. Michigan State is very good. So those are the kinds of sites to look for and find information from if you don't find them on the Wisconsin Extension site.
Absolutely.
We do also have an email service that is staffed by our Master Gardener volunteers who are trained to do these things, and you can send a message to them through this email site. You can also send photos to them, and that's very helpful if you can accompany it by some photos. Close-ups of the leaf or whatever it is you're looking at that you think is diseased. And if I can give that email.
Yes, go ahead.
It's planthealth.advisors, A-D-V-I-S-O-R-S, at uwex.edu. And they will get back to you within a couple of days. We have Master Gardener on duty doing those emails 5 days a week, so you should be able to get an answer pretty quickly.
Well, Sharon, we thank you greatly for taking time out of your day to join us, sharing a lot of information that our listeners can take and use on their property and be aware of problems that they didn't even know was existing here in Wisconsin.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You're very welcome.